Okay, we're recording. So I am Cooper Brumfield. I am here with the season 3 of the MSA Literary Podcast, and today I am here with my wonderful grandmother. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you.
So for season 3 of the Literary Arts Podcast, we really want to circle around the ideologies of human connections. With our goal for literaries is to plan and facilitate an oral history interview, and we want the purpose of this is to record a person's recollection of experiences and how it compares to that of the human condition. And today, I thought, after thinking for a while, I think that a really important aspect of the loss for words here for the human condition is that of learning. So today, I decided that I could interview someone who learns what I know best, or I hope to know best, literary arts. So, why don't you tell them why you're here, or what you're here?
Why I'm here?
Yes.
Well, I'm here because I'm talking to you about my career, which went from 1970 when I became a teacher. I graduated from Ole Miss and got a degree in English, a BA.
Okay.
With a minor in education in Spanish.
Education in Spanish, interesting.
And also sociology.
Okay.
So I decided I had an opportunity to become a teacher in Oxford, and so I began teaching seniors in high school English, and then I taught Spanish as well.
Okay.
And for 2 years in Oxford, Mississippi. And then I moved back to Natchez, and I taught for 5 more years in the public school systems here in Natchez before I took a break from teaching. I retired when I had my first child. Well, actually, I retired for about 6 months, but then I went back to the schools and I quit teaching in public schools in 1977 when my second child was born.
Okay.
And I didn't return to teaching until the late 1980s.
Okay.
1980s, and when I was teaching English and Spanish in the Catholic schools.
Okay.
But I went back in the beginning to teach Spanish only, and then I had English that I added, and that was what I taught from 1988, basically, till 1998. Then I began to teach just Spanish after that point.
It's really interesting. So, for today's podcast, we really just wanted to, personally, I really wanted to touch on the integration of literary arts and literature into English itself. And I know that you've had multiple positions in the public school systems and the private school systems. And I know that it might differentiate when it could be just because of time and how time has passed. But I just wanted to know, when it came to integrating literature, books, poems, short stories, monologues, how did things like that, was that an apparent piece of teaching that you had in the public and private school systems and when you taught English?
Ask me that question again, because I don't quite understand the question.
So, what was your opinion? On the ideas of teaching books, teaching poetry, different types of writing, let alone just grammar, I wanted to know, did you do that a lot? And if so, what was your opinions on it?
I did integrate very much literature into my writing and writing into my literature. I tried to incorporate them both. At one time, you taught more grammar units and literary units. But I loved literature. I loved Romantic period particularly, and I loved poetry.
Okay.
I loved to take ideas, and I liked to integrate things so that the children could. In the beginning, when I first started teaching, teaching was very dry, and you did more. There was a lot of lecture type environments where kids participated, but not in a way that I felt was as much hands on.
Would you say it became more lucrative as you taught through the years?
Through the years, I with experience too.
Yeah, I understand that.
I learned that I could do that. I could incorporate more hands on, and I felt like the more children got to read and then do things that they had to use that and incorporate it into different projects. I felt like that made them more aware of what they were reading. I liked to do units where they got to write poetry and where they got to write stories that were around the subjects that we were doing. We did mythology, for instance. We did a mythology unit, and absolutely you brought the art in. You brought the stories in. You brought the legends in, and I tried to incorporate all of that, plus more hands-on things where they had to do some presentations themselves.
Well, I've found with at least previous research that I've been doing that I think that there can be large differentiations between the integration of literature when it comes to public school and private school. And that's let alone just the idea of certain things that they teach and certain materials that they feel like they're comfortable teaching. But personally, I just want to know, do you think that one outweighs the other when it comes to, would you say that when it comes to teaching literature or teaching certain types of books, would you say that one specific type did it more than the other?
Well, in the public schools, particularly in the beginning, there was not as much, you had a set premise of what you were going to teach. You had a curriculum, a syllabus.
Okay, very, very, very strict.
Very strict. In the public schools, we didn't, we made our syllabus, but we had a certain structure that we followed and certain curriculum that we followed.
And did that change throughout the years at all?
Well, and the private schools and the Catholic schools, it's not that we didn't have a curriculum, but we did a lot more interjection as a teacher. I got to interject more my opinions and help form that curriculum.
Okay.
Plus, I didn't have as much, you had very strict, you had a teacher that would oversee what you did, and that was all very structured, what you were going to teach. And they came into your classroom and they made sure that you did pretty much what they expected. In the private schools, it wasn't that we didn't have, absolute, we had people that came in. You had somebody who would oversee what you were doing, but yeah, you had a lot more freedom and leeway to do what you want to do.
Do you think that personally, within your experience, do you think that through both public and private school systems, do you think that they've both evolved when it comes to, you know, how important it is, I mean, diversity-wise, when it comes to teaching different types of literature? Do you think they've grown in that perspective?
I think they had grown. I think, I have a great fear these days of what's happening with the more that they choose and select what you can read and what you can have in your libraries. I think that's going to be
a problem.
A problem, I do.
Well, I really did want to touch on that because I know that, I mean, in public schools as well, but especially from what I've seen in private or religiously based schools, I think that they've had a lot of issues with suppression of literature. I mean, just very wide. I mean, of course, there's modern works that are more frowned upon, but there's also more classical works that are banned, such as like The Catcher in the Rye, or a lot of Southern schools that began to rally for the suppression and the taking out books like To Kill a Mockingbird out of the school system. And I just want to know what your opinion was of that.
I particularly love To Kill a Mockingbird, and that's one book that I found that I saw different stages of it. When I first taught it, being a Southern girl, mm-hmm. and having grown up in the South in the school systems that I did, that were definitely integrated until my high school class, my senior class.
Segregated or integrated?
No, they were segregated.
Segregated, yes.
Until I was a senior in high school.
Really?
And then schools were desegregated that year, but there was a much stronger, there were many opinions at that point in time. When I taught for the first year, and for the first time I taught To Kill a Mockingbird, which was when I began to teach ninth graders, mm-hmm. I taught seniors in the beginning, but when I taught ninth graders, To Kill a Mockingbird, for instance, that was a very difficult thing for me to teach because it made me face some things that I had not really realized as a student and as a person that was involved in this community, in this culture.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
And so I began to see things that I really felt were very important to show. And now I feel like they're starting to, and I felt like that was one of the most wonderful books for children to not only get cultural ideas, but also to just form maybe opinions that were a little bit different.
I feel like at least in this day and age, I feel like opinionated people and, you know, almost like a cultural divide between, I mean, political parties, I feel like that's beginning to have an impact on what type of literature and what type of material that we read and use throughout the education system, which I personally find is not a very good ideal that is being followed by certain systems, but I just wanted, I feel like I, everyone should have an opinion on it, but I feel like it's very, very important to touch on or get the opinions of people who have really become a really important part of the education system, such as teachers.
Well, I mean, absolutely, and the cultural, I mean, and the ideas, of course, you have to have your background that comes into what you do, but it's so important for students to be able to open their minds and to teach what they need to teach.
Yeah.
I mean, to listen and then to grow from that point in time.
But no, I find that very interesting. Another point that I really wanted to touch on was so I think that, at least from my experience going to attending a Catholic school, as well as a public school, I think that, at least in the South, I think that when it comes to the arts, neither are acknowledged even close to the extent that they need to be. I mean, when I say arts, I do refer to literary arts, but I'm also referring to, I feel like, if anything, literary arts is one of the only arts that are acknowledged in the school system just because it's so close to basic English curriculums.
Right.
So I just want to know what your opinion is on if you think that, you know, visual art, sculpting, painting, do you think that that should be more integrated into public and private school systems?
I absolutely do, and I feel like it. The art, the painting, the sculpting, that type of hands-on art, visual arts and participatory arts are still there. The one thing I think I seem to see in this area, anyway, is music.
Yes.
To be, there is none it taught in private schools at all around in Natchez. There aren't. And
yeah.
Many times what happens, any kind of art program, whether it's hands-on art, whether it's music, I feel like that's where the money gets cut first.
Yeah.
And so it's not that people don't feel that that's important to emphasize those type of things, but you find less and less willingness to participate in that kind of funds in schools.
And I would say, obviously, it comes from a place that, you know, at least in the South especially, that sports seem to be a lot more popular, extracurriculars when it comes surrounding math and science seem to be more popular. But I think that, I would say that the integration of that would be important, not just because there might be a minority of people who are very experienced in art, who feel passionate in art, but also that I feel like if that was to be put more into the mainstream, I feel like a lot more people would find out and realize that they have a passion for that type of thing.
I feel so. Absolutely. The one thing I did see in the public schools more in earlier years particularly, but there was more, there were plays, and of course it depends on the size of your school system.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's
but,
very
important. But there were plays I always produced, even in the Catholic schools where you were too, there was a point that they still did speech type places, and they did drama, and they did things that they no longer do. They had choral classes. In the Catholic schools where you went, the elementary has art, they have chorus, they have all those things, but by the time you get to the high school, they tend to push those away, and the same with art classes. You know, they don't seem to have that.
I find that very interesting because I feel like, at least in our day and age, I feel like as a community, as a country, I feel like that we begin to appreciate art in its mainstream a bit more. You know, painting, singing especially, performance, television, all of that. So I'm just wondering, why do you think specifically that it's tend to be pulled out less and became a lot less mainstream than it was in the 70s or the 80s? Do you have any idea why, in your opinion, it would become more suppressed now?
I really think that the bottom line is money. Sometimes the content, people, as school boards begin to look at some things and feel that things were, the entertainment industry opened up more. The plays, the movies, the things that you were reading, the novels too, were more explicit and had more visuals and more themes that were sometimes frowned upon by the people, the powers that be. Mm-hmm. Consequently, I felt like, to a point, it was easier to eliminate them than to have to
change
with them. Right.
I feel
like, actually, everybody is more open. Students or people that are studying are much more open to art and to literature, and because they see it more. And they're impressed by that their minds are opened to things that they would not necessarily have gotten in a more structured type curriculum.
I really do understand that. And, or I hope to. And then, finally, one of the final things that I'd like to talk about today is that I think that when it comes to finding a good balance between art and structure, I think that that's something that I feel like too much art leaves too much room to be desired when it comes to conformality. Not less conformality and more like having a structure also will help children succeed in a way, but I feel like having too much will suppress any ideas that they have to create anything new. And I think that finding that perfect balance is really what is important when you teach literature and you teach art of that variety. So I just wanted to know what you thought, or what strategies you would use or recommend to anyone who's out there trying to really expand on art to other people.
The main thing to me is that you step back and you don't guide a child too much in any direction. You give them the basic premise.
Okay.
And you let them do things on their own and don't be such a person who guides what they write and guides what they create.
Okay.
You have to know that people create things that are not necessarily what you would have created. You need to give them lines. You need to help them be, if you're writing, you need to help things be literary, grammatical.
Yes, yes.
And in a form that they need to be, but just enough for them to go out. When I used to grade papers or when I used to give projects for kids to do, I would sometimes go through them four times because I didn't want to change things. I just wanted to make suggestions in a way that would guide them in a way that they could open up for what they were supposed to do.
Okay, yeah, no. I think that, really, I really do appreciate that. And I feel like there are a lot of teachers now who don't have that modernish, that initiative that teachers in the past might have. And I really, really appreciate that there are people like you out there.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, yes. Finally, I just wanted to close out. I wanted to ask your opinion because in correlation to the running theme that we have for this season, we're speaking about the human condition. And I think, personally, in my opinion, that learning is one of the most important aspects of creating human condition and developing, I guess, basic human personality and what human condition is as a whole. And I just want to hear, I want to know what your opinion is on that matter.
The broader somebody's mind is, and by broad, by full of experiences through literature and art,
mm-hmm.
the more that you can expand your own horizons and give to others. I used to tell people, I can give you a book to read and you can go with Cliff Notes and find out what the story's about, but nobody can put that book in your brain unless you read it. Nobody can put those words in your brain except if you read them or if you see them. You can't look at art and have somebody just say, I read about what it is and this is what it is. You need to be able to expand things, and nobody can, if you don't see that painting or that hear that music, nobody can put that into your head. And then you don't ever have that experience inside of you that you can create and go for from there.
That was put beautifully. I don't think I could have said it better myself.
Great. What was your ideas?
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
I enjoyed very much. It's always nice to give my opinions.
This is my grandmother, Sandra Burks. Do you have anything else you want to say before we sign
off? No, I just think this is a wonderful project, and I wish I were more tech savvy, and I would have done things more like this, too.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope that you have a great day. So, after an interview that was as formative as that, I think that there are many things that we can stand on to think about, whether it be the importance of literature, or even just learning within itself, or even understanding that while the modern school system has come a long, long way, there are still many actions that must be taken if we, as a people, want to improve the environments in which our youth are taught. I would like to challenge all that are listening to take a moment and make sure that they're in a place where they can make sure that not just themselves, but their youth can thrive and become the people that they would like to be. So finally, everybody, I just wanted to thank everyone who's taken the time out of their day to listen, and I strongly encourage you to go listen to the other podcast episodes submitted by my peers. They worked very hard on them, and I think that you would enjoy them just as much as you enjoyed this one. And with that, I hope that everyone has a good day, and until next time.
Thanks.